Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
You like this, Doug?
Yeah, that's not bad.
What is it?
It's fine. I actually don't recognize it. Is this Acoustic Sessions?
This is him.
Yeah. Oh, that's the jam you were singing.
I was playing the instrumental. I thought you would jam in there.
Let it go.
What's she gonna do about him?
No, that's real music.
No, this actually was a huge hit.
It was.
In the 70s.
Was it Rupert Holmes?
Sounds right.
The Pina Colada song guy.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Nice.
Yeah.
From Nyack, New York. I know that because that's my hometown.
That's your turn.
Am I supposed to speak before I'm introduced?
We have no rules.
What does it matter, Frank? You know that.
Hey, no rules. It's perfect. I'm used to that.
Yeah. Frank Opinion is in studio with us, Doug. This gentleman is successful.
No, don't do that.
He's respected.
Don't do that.
And he's been doing it for years, and this is what we aspire to be.
No, it's not.
You know what you've
Trust
done?
Me.
No, you've carved out a place for yourself, and we've been digging and gouging, and nothing is carved out.
We bounce around radio stations.
We're gypsies.
Yeah.
We are gypsies.
We've shut down some of the worst stations in town.
Well, 20 years of at the same place before I came here. So that's not bouncing around.
Right.
I think
that's what I'm saying.
I think I've been to four or five.
What are the four stations before?
The very first job I had in commercial radio, believe it or not, was right here, 590. It was WRTH, and I was young, and it was Music of Your Life. Beautiful music. And all you said on the air was you would say, that was Percy Faith and his orchestra. It's 42 degrees at Lambert Field. This is WRTH, Avco Radio, Bethalto, Cottage Hills, St. Louis.
Wow.
And then they take a break. And then Hugh Montenegro or Henry Mancini music would play. Mm-hmm. And there was a mandatory 2 seconds between each song because it was supposed to be quiet, peaceful. And a song would end. Another song would start. And if they caught you playing them back to back, you got in trouble. They'd come in and go, hey. Mandatory 2 seconds between each song. So you never got a chance to say much. What you do is you would backsell the other words. At the end of three songs, you'd say, that was Mike Curb and the Mike Curb congregation, followed by Henry Mancini. And of course, that was followed by Percy Faith. I say Percy Faith. Played a lot of Percy Faith in his orchestra. 60 degrees now at Lambert Field. This is the music. And it's the same thing half hour and then another. And that's it. That's all you got
to do. Not very stimulating.
No. And you couldn't be creative at all. And I actually didn't get to do that until the very end of my stint there. So the point is, it's a circle of life. I start there and I end there. Probably here.
Just four stations?
That was first. Then I mean,
that's remarkable.
We were four stations in 2010.
Yeah. Here's what you need to know, though. I never set out to be on the air. Never. That was not my intent. I studied to be an optometrist until I got thrown out of school. I didn't go to college because I got kicked out twice.
Yeah. What'd you do?
Bad grades.
Bad grades.
Yeah, because I didn't like what I was studying. I wasn't interested in it. And you do what your parents think you should do. You're going to be an optometrist or a doctor, lawyer, that kind of thing. So you try to make them happy, but it wasn't what I wanted to do. And this is an accident. This is a complete accident. I went into SIU Edwardsville, had a radio station they were building. It went on the air September 4th, 1970. But prior to that, they're building it. And a friend of mine took me in there, and I'd never been in a radio station. There was a microphone, there were two turntables. And he said, here. And he potted the mic up, and he went, just say something. I put on headphones, and I went, one, two, one. And I thought, hey, this is. And then he said, play that record. And it was a Beatles record. I want to hold your hand or something. And he said, go ahead, act like a disc jockey. And I went, the Beatles, I want to hold your hand. Oh, yeah. And I thought, you know what? This might be an okay way to make a living. But I knew I wasn't the guy to be a disc jockey or to be on the air, have a voice on there, because I didn't have a voice for it. Because back then, it was those guys. And so I just thought, maybe I could do something else. Maybe I could write commercials, produce commercials. So for... The WRTH thing was, I was the guy that typed up cards for the people who had those voices to read. The Women's Auxiliary 367 post of the VFW will have a chicken dinner Saturday night at 7 o'clock. I wrote those, okay? Not much writing to it. And the guys with voices would read them. And toward the very end, because they were desperate, because they lost an overnight guy, they didn't have a replacement. They took me in 11 to 5 a.m. and said, here, as bad as you are, as bad as your voice is, just do this. This is Avco Radio, WRTH. It's 49 degrees at Lambert Field. So I did that for a while. And then Army basic training took me to Fort Jackson, South Carolina. And when I got out of basic training, I was in the reserves. So I could go back and have a life. And I thought, I'll continue this radio thing. But you have to understand that being on the air again is an accident. When I got out of basic training, I had no job and I was desperate. And I saw an ad for a radio station in Rock Hill, South Carolina. Fort Jackson's in Columbia, 65 miles away. And it said news director. I desperately needed a job. We had nothing. And I called the owner, the little station, and I said, I saw your ad for news director. He said, you do news? And I said, do I do news? I didn't lie to him. I just repeated the question. I said, do I do news? I just came from WRTH in St. Louis, Missouri. Now you when you're talking to a little guy in York, South Carolina, which is not even, it's a suburb of Rock Hill, which is a nothing town. He said, well, where are you? And I said, Columbia. He said, when can you? I said, right now. And I drove to meet this guy, Curtis Sigmund. He owned the family radio station. His producer put me in a room, and he started a reel of tape, and he gave me some news copy. And understand that I'm sitting now in a position where this is make it or break it. If this is good, I might get a job, and if it's not, so I couldn't breathe. You ever remember, like, Doug or anybody, your first time when you got on TV or that? You honest to goodness, you cannot breathe. Mm-hmm. President Nixon. and so I stopped the tape, and I walked in Mr. Sigmund's office, and I took it off, and I handed it to him, and I said, if you listen to this, you will never hire me. Would you let me go on Monday morning and just do a newscast, please? And I said, we are starving. We're in a little trailer park. I said, I need this job, and you have nothing to lose. So he said, can you come in over the weekend and watch the news guy and how he runs the little news board? I said, sure. So I did. Monday morning, and they started their new, it was a little station that knew how to sound big, because their newscast went something like, good morning, I'm Frank O'Pinion, and this is news President Nixon today. And they wanted that, so I did that. I had listened to the other guy. I listened to James W. Stevenson do the news, and so I did that. I didn't make a single mistake. When the first newscast ended, Mr. Sigmund called me in his office, and he said, how much did we agree to pay you? And I said, $125 a week. He said, forget that. Let's make it $130. And he said, I've never had a guy come in here and read a newscast without making a mistake the first time out. But I was so scared, I had to do it. I called my wife and I said, you're not going to believe this. I've been here an hour and I got a raise. That's $20 a month, by the way, $5 a week. Right. That's a third of a car payment. That's the way I looked at it. And so that's sort of how it started.
Wow.
And it's just an accident. But this, what I do now, is a bigger accident, because it came about as a result of going in somebody else's show and telling a joke. And apparently I told it so well, they had me come in the next day and every day and tell a joke. And I was in there 10 minutes a day.
So now, how'd you go from 590, where it was just music for your life,
to South Carolina? Then back here, I was only there 10 months because there's no money to be made in South Carolina unless you're in the textile business. Everybody that had money was in the textile business. If you met a rich guy, what's your name, son? And he'd go, and I'd say, and you are, I'm J.A. Morganson of Morganson Textiles. We make towels and washcloths. And those were the rich guys. And I never met a rich guy in radio, so we came back here. And I came back here to take a job at an ad agency that fell apart after 6 weeks. The guy went bankrupt. He lied to me. He moved me back here.
Oh, my.
Telling me I was going to make $20,000 a year. I was making $7,000. $20,000? Are you kidding? So, we packed up, and this is unbelievable. We bought a new Volkswagen to celebrate. Get back here 6 weeks. The job is gone. He's out of business. Now we're broke again, and we have an apartment up in North County off of Rain Tree Apartments off Lilac. We have nothing except a one-year lease, a brand new car, no money. She quit her job. I know. I now have no job. Do you really want to hear all this?
I'm enamored right now.
So there was a guy named Barry Goldberg who worked for Casey.
Kat, you know him?
He's passed away. He's a member.
And he called me. He said, I heard about your job. But this is horrible. I said, yeah. He said, what are you going to do? And I said, you know what? I think I would like to be in the ad agency business. I want to write and produce commercials. He said, well, I only really know one guy. Sid Savin had an ad agency. So he gave me, I called the guy. And I said, Mr. Savin, I told him who I was. And I said, I need a job. Back again to, I'm dying. And he said, well, what do you want to do? And I said, write, produce. He said, I have two writer producers, and that's all this company can afford. I said, please meet me. And so he did. And I had some tapes of stuff I had just done while I worked in South Carolina. It wasn't news, little things I did, bits. And he said, you're very creative. I wish we had room for you. I said, hire me and fire. Why don't you fire one of your writers? And he just stared at me. And he said, what? I said, fire one. He said, I'm not going to do that. And I said, you would if you knew what I could bring to this company. Now, again, desperation sometimes causes you to become brilliant. You're hungry. And he said, I'm not about to fire one of my people to hire somebody I don't know. And I said, Mr. Savin, I said, look, 8 weeks. Hire me for 8 weeks to write and produce commercials. If in 8 weeks I'm not better than either one of these two people, and I've never met them, and I'll tell you I'm better, you'll fire one of them after 8 weeks. And if you don't, I will sign a notarized promissory note that I owe you the 8 week salary. You have nothing to lose here. And I guess he liked the confidence, and he said, oh, okay, start Monday. And he said, how much do you want? Now, before I left home, I told my wife, I said, if I can get us $145 a week, because remember, I was making $130. I said, we're in Fat City. He said, how much do you want? I said, $250 a week. He said, you're out of your mind. I don't pay my people that have been here with me. And I said, well, that's what I want. He said, no, $200 and that's it. That's it. And so I acted like I had to think it over. I said, okay, I'll settle for that. Again, I ran to call my wife. I said, very words, we are rich. I said, we're rich. She said, what'd you get? I said, $200. We couldn't believe it. 8 weeks later, he fired one of the two writers. And as this poor guy was leaving, he packed up his stuff. He walked by my office and just stared at me. As if to say,
your fault.
You're the reason that I fired. And if he had, I'd have said, no, you're the reason you're fired because you're a hack. and you're not that good. And I'm better. And that's then everything started to go for me because I was making, I have to tell you, $200 a week is $10,400 a year. I remember numbers and cars that I've owned. I can't remember. And jokes. I can't remember anything else. So, that sort of started it.
So you're doing it. You're an ad agency.
I was
in
ad agency for 8 years total.
So you were in an ad agency for 8 years.
Two different agencies.
Wow. All right.
Produced commercials. Did voices for about 2,000 commercials. Character voices. The kids' voices. Young guys' voices. Old guys' voices.
So how do you pop back up on radio?
I got a call from KSD FM, the guy on the morning was Ron Morgan.
Oh,
Morgan and Crunch. Do you remember them?
I remember Ron Morgan.
And Ron calls and says, my boss, Joe Dorton, who's the president of all of Gannett Radio, who happened to have headquarters on Corporate Square off Olive, says, we need help on this morning show because our ratings are slipping and the show's just getting stale. Would you come in the mornings and just do anything, just characters? And I said, wow, what time are you on? He said, 6 to 9. I said, I have to get up at like 4:30. He said, $25,000 a year just to come in the morning. I said, 35. He went back and got it approved. We had a 90-day deal. If nothing panned out in 90 days, they cut me, but not before, because as you know, nothing happens in a week. Mm. Things have to just sort of, you know, stew and develop. So nothing was really happening for about a month. And at about the two-month point, I decided to do a character called Ed E. Torrio. Ed E. was sort of making fun of Robert Hyland, who was the head of KMOX, because he would do commentaries. And he had a very sort of corporate voice. And they'd say, now, KMOX general manager and CBS vice president Robert Hyland. And he'd say, in St. Louis, there's a tax proposal, and they're asking the citizens to cough up money. Here at KMOX, we don't believe. And it was just sort of, this is, and I thought, holy cow, who listens? Well, I know who, my parents. So I did Eddie, and Ed's voice
was exactly here at KSD.
And it was ridiculous. Just the editorials were ridiculous. Now, it worked. It worked. It worked so well. Boy, I hope I'm not boring anybody.
I am fascinated by this. I see the text coming in, and people are fascinated by it as well.
So it worked so well that the general manager of KUSA, which was 550, country station, AM, they can't buy an audience. It's WIL. WIL is the... Now there's another FM, Kix 104. So KUSA is AM country. She comes down the hall and says, would you come in once a morning to KUSA and do something for 10 minutes? And I said, what? And she said, we don't care, anything. So on a Sunday night, I made up the name Frank Opinion. And I called one person, a guy who was a graphic artist. He was a creative guy. And I just said, let me bounce this off you. Frank Opinion. He said, I love it. Monday morning, I walk into KUSA. The host was Lee Sherwood. The newsman was Robert the Country Fox. And Lee said, I said, did they tell you I'm coming in? And Lee said, yeah, I don't even know these guys. I'd met them. He said, what are we doing? I said, I don't know. Introduce me as vice president of the commentary, Frank Opinion, and I will tell you a joke. And when I hit the punchline, I'm out of here. I got to go back down the hall. So we did. And from that minute, the mail, there was no email, the mail that came in, it went so well, we'd already decided that every day about 8 o'clock, I'd come in for 10 minutes. So the mail that came in to Frank was 10 times the mail that the host of that show got, that Ron Morgan got. And the difference between the AM and the FM was that, and Morgan, rest in peace, he's gone, and I don't mean to... But there's a jealousy that sets in when somebody on a show becomes more popular than somebody else. There just is, and a resentment.
We're that way with Tim. Just
are you?
Doug and I,
listen, Tim. I've heard the show. You don't have to be.
Okay. Drop out of that plot.
And by the way, before I leave, we're talking about that email. Okay,
that, oh, you better believe we're going to talk about that email.
And I also know that I will be part of this show indefinitely, probably forever, saying boy whore. I know you well done. No, I know you captured that. I heard it. And now I'm part of the show, and that's fine with me. So, every morning I go in, the mail comes in.
What year is it? Can I ask what year we're now?
Now we're at about 1984, 85.
Okay.
I go down the hall where the president of Gannett Radio and my general manager, a female, are, and I said, I want to go all morning on the AM. They love me in there. And I will tell you, it's very much like this place. When I walked in this place, it's the most welcoming bunch of people, no resentment. I feel great here. And that's how I felt in that AM studio, because Lee and Robert couldn't wait for me to come in every day and tell a joke. And I said, I'm telling you, we got something here. It took them 6 months to agree to take me off the FM, because they said, if we take you off the FM, they're back where they were. And I said, I don't care. This is where the potential is. That station went And by the way, folks, there's a rating system that's a joke. It's called Arbitron. It's been a joke. It's always been a joke.
Yeah.
It's a complete joke, but it's all there is.
Right.
And even that, with all its flaws and the fact that it's not really reliable, showed that that show went from 15th in the morning to 2nd in the morning in a year.
Wow.
So now things are going great. Franco Pinion, KUSA, country music, road shows, appearances. I'm getting paid well. And,
had you left the ad agency at this point? You're all radio?
Yes. In fact, I left the ad agency, the last one of the two in 1980, okay. And just went to work for myself. I wrote, produced commercials. I was available to anybody who needed me. I'll write for you. I'll do voices for you. And now that KUS, it's interesting when... when you're doing well, lots of people want to hire you. But the day you're out of work, it's like you have the plague. No, I'm serious. Yeah. You're the same person. You have the same ability, but you're unemployed. So it's like you have a disease. And you folks listening, you know what I'm talking about. If you've ever worked somewhere, it doesn't matter if you were 30 years a loyal employee. If you're gone, whatever the reason, oh, man, I don't know. He's on him. But and it's wrong. So I'm in that position where in the 80s, radio paid big money. They had a lot of money. They threw money around. They spent it on whatever you needed. They do it. And so I get a call from Robert Hyland, KMOX.
What?
Now, this is when KMOX was a big deal.
Mm.
And one of the first things he asked me was,
he says, this character that you do, this editorial, is that supposed to be me?
I said, yes, sir. It is. It is you.
Oh.
And so I said, I thought he was going to say,
get the hell out of my office, making fun of the most powerful guy.
He didn't say that. What he did after five meetings, Monday, every day, Monday through Friday, I met with this guy, and he offers me a job.
What do they pay you over at that other station?
And I said, they pay me $35,000 a year.
Well, let's double that.
Now, I'm going to tell you something. You go from the guy who's starving and says, please give me a chance for a job, to somebody going, let's double. I go back to KSD, and I didn't play the them against the other guy. I just said, I'm leaving. And they said, where? Why? I said, KMOX. And Joe Dorton, the president of all of Gannett Radio, hundreds of stations, says, what did they offer you? And I said, double. He said, done. Here. Retroactive 2 weeks. And I'm thinking, all right, this is good. This is all good. I just doubled my income. And then from there, let's fast forward to a call from a guy named Shelly Davis in 1987. I'm at KUSA Country Music. We're doing really well. Now there's WIL doing well, and Kix 104, now they can't buy an audience. I get this call, and he says, all right, look, we're dying, and we want to get you over here. And I said, do you want to get me over there, or do you want to get me off of KUSA? Because there's a difference. There are general managers who will hire people to get them off a station, make them miserable so they'll quit and leave town. And I said, so there's a difference. Do you want me there or do you want me off? He said, both. And I said, well, you'll have to prove how serious you are to me, because I think you just want me off this other station so you can battle it out with WIL. He said, how do we prove we're serious? Now, folks, I'm not making this up. This is 1987. And where I got the idea to do this, I don't know, but I knew that athletes were given signing bonuses. No radio people got. I said, here's how you do a 5-year contract that's really attractive, and you give me a check for $100,000 just for signing it. And the first day I walk in, before I say my first word, on the console, there should be another check for $50,000. He did it. He came to my house and in my kitchen, gave me $100,000. And he walked out, and I looked at my wife. Now again, I go, we're rich! We're rich! So it's all, the stories are all really the same story. The numbers just get different. And I was there 5 years. And when I left, I was sued by Gannett. They said I breached my contract. I didn't. And I knew I didn't. In my contract, there was a clause they didn't know was in there. And it said that I could leave if I would stay off the air in St. Louis for 6 months. So I told Kix that. I said, if you hire me, I can't come here for 6 months. And you got to pay me to sit out. They said, fine. And they didn't care what it took. So I get 6 months full pay, great salary. I'm not doing it. I learned to fly. I took pilot's lessons. But during the 6 months, Gannett comes after me and takes me to, because for the only time I've ever been in court, actual court. Here you are, Your Honor, the Honorable, the judge walked in, and there's a box, and witnesses get up, jury. It was like, but it's by judge, not jury. But it's a real courtroom. They tried to take the name Franco Pinion, say they owned it. They tried to get an injunction to keep me off the air for a couple of years. And I'm petrified because without that name, I got nothing. And I was scared to death. And I found a great attorney. And he was a listener. And I didn't have a lawyer. I never needed a lawyer. And I called him and I said, do you do entertainment contracts? He goes, why? And I told him the story. He said, a contract is a contract. It doesn't matter if it's entertained. Let me take a look at it. He looked at it and he said, you win. You win. He said, it clearly says that if you walk out before the end of this contract, all you have to do is stay off the air 6 months, and you're doing that. So we went to court, and I won. Now, I didn't win any money, but I won the right to go ahead and do what I was going to do. My court costs, my lawyer's costs, were $12,000. This is 87. So I said, what do I owe you? And I get the final bill. He said, you're not going to pay it. They're going to pay it. So somehow he got word to them that if you don't pay this guy's lawyer fees, we're going to sue you for $2 million for defamation because you basically said he breached his contract and he didn't. They couldn't pay it fast enough. I mean, it kicks 5 years. The week that the 5 years is up, I get a call from Gannett. The very people that tried to kill my career and said, it's been 5 years. We're sorry. Will you come back to work for us? I said, I'll go to work for anybody. So I met with Gannett. There were apologies all around. We're sorry we sued you. We're sorry. What do you want to come back? So again, but folks, I have to tell you, as these guys will tell you, those days are over. The days of courting and whining and dining and what do you need? What will it take? They're over. The last time it happened to me was when I was in country music, and there was a guy, Heritage Broadcasting owned WIL. So I'm at Kix now. We're doing well. The president of Heritage Broadcasting calls me and says, we want you to come to Seattle and do country music in Seattle. And I said, I don't want to live in Seattle. He said, why? I said, it rains all the time. He said, that's a myth.
It's not true. It is true.
Yeah. And he says, I'm coming to see you. And I said, well, come to my house. This guy, the president of Heritage, flies to St. Louis and comes to my home and sits down in my family room and says, I want you and your wife to come to Seattle for a week. First class airline tickets, stay at the Ritz-Carlton, whatever you need. We'll get you a driver. I want you to see. I said, I'm not coming. It would be stealing because I'm not moving to Seattle. He said, why? I said, I told you because it rains all the time. Now, I'm one of the few people who had a dish when they were those mesh, you know, those 9-foot dishes in your yard. And I said, let's check the weather. While I turn on the weather. It's pouring in Seattle. And he just said, I picked the wrong day. I said, no, you didn't. It rains a lot there. Thank you for coming. I just don't want to live in the rain. And he left. And then very gradually, all that ended. Radio had spent and wasted money. And my goodness, if I told you some of the things they paid for me, limousines and trips to Beverly Hills, those days are absolutely gone because radio has been hurt by 200 television channels. Advertisers used to spend their money one of three places, radio, TV, newspaper. Billboards, okay, but mainly radio, TV, newspaper. And TV meant four channels, 2, 4, 5, 11, 30 maybe. Radio meant five or six stations, really powerful station, KXOK, WIL, blah, blah, blah. Now, the same advertiser has this money, and 200 channels want it. Radio still wants it. Newspaper still wants it. And social media wants that money. So it's a lot tougher for radio to get the kind of revenue that they used to get. The good news is talk radio, whether it's sports like this or politics, is surviving. And it will survive because you may have all your music on your iPod, but you can't get what you guys were doing and I was listening to on the way in here on your iPod. You can have it there, but it's old news tomorrow. And tomorrow's a different show, and that's the one you want to hear. So, good news is talk radio, has a long way to go because boomers, baby boomers, are going to be around a while. And they still listen to radio, and they still actually watch the news, unlike the millennials who never watch the news.
No.
Darren, right? How old are you?
28.
You watch the news, the evening like network news?
No.
Of course you don't.
It's hard to find anybody under 35 who watches.
You read the paper? No.
He can't read, though.
It's a tough go-around for me. I barely made it radio. To school.
You barely made it. I got kicked out twice out of college. So that's the short version of a long, long story. The other good news for me is I'm at a station right now, right here. Circle of Life thing. If it ends here, that's fine. This station has an owner who knows nothing about radio. Now, that's a problem unless he's a guy who's willing to listen to people who do. And he is. And that's the good news for all of us. And I think 590, which has been, Tim, no offense, but I told you.
Yeah, it was the first time.
590, as a guy in the business looking from the outside in at this place. 590 has been kind of a joke. It's a place where, I won't name names, but people who, they're at the end of the line, they get hired and fired, and then rehired and refired. And it's a place where if somebody hears you going to 590, well, they go, well, the end of his career. That ended recently. And one of you said earlier on the way and said, well, he had his sixth day yesterday. Fifth day. I don't work on Fridays.
Yeah, that's right.
That was me.
That was me, but I was reading what Plowboy gave me. You know that.
Not allowed to correct him on the air.
Yeah. I didn't mean for this to turn into this.
No, it's fascinating.
Like I said, I'm reading the text inbox, which then gets me to the text inbox, and they love it. Do you ever open up the text inbox?
No, because
don't,
I like...
Don't do it.
I I'm never going to read you guys' emails. I'll tell you that. I still don't know what that boy whore thing was. Is that a code? Some kind of code for the show?
Doug is very vile. And then so Doug says things, and then people kind of take that cue, and then...
I have fought this vileness from
Doug is here. Also very excitable, because I've listened to the show, and I'll go, who's the excited guy? It's you. You're the one that gets all excited.
I bring a lot of passion from the loins.
You do.
Loins.
Now, here's the other thing. This room... radio is a very interesting thing, but everywhere I've ever been, there's nothing has ever been right. Something's always broken, or they didn't put it in. They built this beautiful facility. And look, everybody here I've met is great, so I'm not offending anybody, but somebody just forgot they might need a clock. There's no... I have never been in a studio where there weren't four clocks. You know, New York time, LA time,
London
time. Yeah. At least, how about just local? There's no clock in here. This is not a casino. Casinos have no clocks. You know that, by the way?
Right, because they don't want you to...
They don't want you to know, oh, shoot, it's 8 o'clock. I need to go to bed.
Here's my question for you.
Sure.
Because we've had this little program in one form or another for 13 years, and we've been trying to grab that brass ring. And
can I tell you something, though? As a non-sports guy, I like this show. This is a really good show.
I like you.
And I'll tell you why it's good. You just sit down and you do what people do. You talk. And that's what we do. And a lot of people can't understand that. They'll prepare. Now, with a guy like Larry Connors, the preparation pays off. He has to produce the kind of show he does, he has to prepare. Mm. But I get the feeling that you come in here and you're armed, you have to be with the latest sports. But beyond that, you just talk to each other.
See, and that's my question, because we've stayed together, and we've always said it's chemistry. I work with Tim. And
it
Martin
is chemistry. Cole, you can't and then force it.
Right? So you've kept your crew together. And
no, not really. Well, there are two of us now, Dan Strauss and myself.
But, I mean, dealing with personalities along the way is part of the battle, right?
Right. The other part of the battle is that the managers will put people in a room together who don't belong to
right.
them.
Right.
They'll go, I want a boy-girl combo, so I want you. That never works. You can't make
somebody.
But
you've been calling your own shots for
yes.
a long time.
Yes.
Right. And that's huge.
Yeah. When I met with Randy Markel, and by the way, everybody mispronounces his last name, but don't call him Markle. It's Markel. The first meeting we had, I said, here's what you need to know about me. And I just started talking. I said, I don't work on Fridays. I don't do remotes. I'll never
Boy,
go.
That's great.
I will. I know. When I heard this story, I'm like, how come I didn't bring that up?
I will never go to a meeting. I will never answer to anybody, but listeners, advertisers, you'll be third, okay? They come first. And I went on about all that. I said, I'm a weird guy, I guess. I said, I'm autonomous. I don't need an office. I don't need a phone extension. I need my bag, my headphones, and I'm in and out, and that's it. And I, blah, da, 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 da. And when I finished, he said, fine. Everything you said sounds fine to me.
Sounds good, bud.
I said, I don't like meetings either. And so we just sort of, I thought, all right. Then I tried to find out anything bad I could. Has he been in prison? I couldn't do it. So everything about, and then I walked in this place for the first time, and I met Melissa, and I met Katie, and I met you guys, and everybody I met. I never once got the feeling that, well, this guy's not a sports guy. What's he doing in here? Never. Because if you have an all-sports station, you've limited your audience to people who only want all sports. And to Randy's credit, he agrees with that. Now, originally, I was going to be 4 to 7. And I had a meeting with an advertiser who said, that's a bad idea. Your audience has listened to you from 3 to 6 for years and years and years. They're not going to like that. So I go back to Randy and I said, Randy, I might add, that's the only thing he asked of me was, would you consider 4 to 7 instead of 3 to 6? I said, sure, because he'd agreed to everything else. I said, okay. And then I went back to him and I said, that was a bad idea. And I told him why. He said, you know what? I agree. I thought about it too. You need to go back 3 to 6. That's what we did. And I just grilled him over meeting after meeting. Are you married? How long have you been married? Who are you married to? How'd you make your money? Where'd you get blah, blah, blah? And he answered every question. I said, how'd you make your money? Chuck's Boots. And I said, what do you know about radio? Nothing. I said, why did you buy a radio station? I was bored.
That's it. I asked him that.
I was bored.
I said, why are you doing this?
Exactly.
And he goes, bud, I just need a reason to get up in the morning.
Bud.
Bud. It's everybody, bud. Everybody's bud.
Everybody's bud. You have dinner with a guy, and he goes, well, I, is anything else, bud? And I said, would you not call me bud? You call everybody bud. I don't feel special if I have the same name. All right, bud. He can't do it. He's incapable of doing that.
Now, we're getting a bunch of texts, Doug. Plenty of them are not vile and well, have enjoyed good. The hell out of the, Frank's career story. And somebody just texted and said, right when the 590 the man, 1380 the woman thing happened, I got the chance to ask
Frank. Oh, my goodness,
Frank,
the man, the woman. Oh, my God. Wow,
we were part of that in the beginning.
What a mistake.
The woman station here, take a look. Was just something that hit me like a bolt of lightning.
Who was that?
That's the guy owner, who came up with the idea.
The owner of the place.
Well, he did a press conference.
Can I tell you something? These consultants. How much time do
you
I have?
As much as you want.
When I was over at the last place, mm-hmm. I won't mention it, they brought in a guy who was a consultant. So I heard he's in the building, and I said, well, I understand we have a consultant. I haven't met him. Mr. Heed, H-E-A-D, Dick Heed. And I said, he pronounces his last name Heed, so we'll go with that, Dick Heed. Now, for 2 weeks, I just did Dick. I said, well, I guess we're doing this because Dick Heed thinks we should do it. So I finally meet the guy in the hall, and he walks right up to me. He puts out his hand. He goes, Frank, Dick Heed. Now, that minute, I thought, okay, he's sort of okay. And I said, well, Dick, nice to meet you. I said, have they told you anything about me here? And he said, like what? And I said, like, leave me alone. And he said, actually, that's exactly what they told me. And you know what? I liked the guy after that because he did. He left me alone. But he went around telling everybody else stupid things to do, like the man, the woman. When I was at KSD, and I'm not making this up, we had a cardboard cutout of a guy named Mike. And they said, this is your listener. And they had notes attached to him. He's 35. He's a young professional. Are you kidding me? Why do I have to just talk to 35-year-old guy? How about anybody who just likes a joke or a story? How about that? How about anybody?
We used to have to write on the glass in pen. We would all rate the segment, and we made a mockery of it, but they made us, after each segment, during the break, you guys get together and grade yourself on doing
that's
the thing.
That's nonsense.
Isn't that nonsense? It's
not, at KSD, there was a program director. By the way, program director means you know nothing, and you do what somebody else tells you to do, and if the station succeeds, the general manager gets the credit. If it fails, you get fired. That's what program director is. This guy, the first day there, we were bought out by a big conglomerate. So he calls me in his office. He goes, well, you work for Easy Communications now. I said, well, apparently I do. He said, now, I just want you to know I'm not a guy who thinks you should meet after every show and dissect the show. I said, good. He said, I believe that Mondays and Fridays, those are the only days we need to get together and kind of talk about the show. And I said, well, I believe we don't meet at all, and that those meetings are stupid, and I'm not going to be in any one of them. And he just stared at me. And I said, I'm not kidding. I'm not coming to any meetings. Look, when you're on the air here and you guys are on, you know when you walk out whether it was a good day or a bad day. You know. You don't need to relive it. Just go on till tomorrow. And I've never believed in that. And I don't even know what my reputation is or what people... I don't know that I care. You really sort of do. You'd like for people to like you. But in this business, generally, the people who say bad things about me are the people who were the never-wers or the has-beens, the bitter, disgruntled radio people who never made it. So they'll say rotten things about me. It doesn't come from anybody else. It always comes from within this business, and it's from somebody who's out there who couldn't make it. Yeah. And I did, and I don't know why, because I've said this before. Every one of you, you all are experts at sports. You know sports. You know,
we're not so smart. Yeah, please understand, we're dummies. Yeah. I mean, that's the truth. We're dummies.
But you know what? You're like 95% of America. That's why they like you. My daughter's boyfriend, who is in Overland Park, Kansas, when he heard I was coming here, you know, the first thing he said to me, he said, that's the show I listen to every morning.
Really?
And he has for a long time. And I had no idea.
That's the key. That's why your success has been, no matter where you've been, now you've had 20 years at one place, but your audience follows you no matter where you go. And more importantly, your advertisers follow you. And of course, it's synergistic, but that's the key. Because they get a return. And that's why the rating system is just BS.
It is. Because if you don't pay Arbitron, you don't show up in the ratings.
It's amazing how it works.
Listen to me. Everybody out there who's a business or a potential advertiser, listen very carefully to me. When you are pitched by radio stations and they go, well, we're third with blue-haired women under 28 to 35, who have two children. It is all hogwash, because if you knew how they took those ratings and those numbers, you'd laugh at it. It's laughable. And here's how you know it's not a legitimate rating service. You could be fifth in the market, and if you say, we're not paying you anymore this extortion money, the next ratings period, you don't exist. You're not even in the top 20. Now, what kind of system is that? It's ridiculous. If you're an advertiser and you want to know what radio station to buy, pick one you've listened to. It's interesting. Go talk to three or four advertisers who have advertised loyally there for a long time and ask them why they keep spending their money there, and they'll tell you, because it works.
Yep.
That's how you buy radio.
Yep. You better believe it.
It really is.
For our audience who has not had a chance to listen to you, you're on from 3 to 6 here now on 590 The Fan. Have been on for a long time.
Yeah, not Friday.
5 days.
Yeah. Excuse me.
I don't work Friday.
That's right.
Or meetings.
Or remotes. The remotes thing is the greatest.
Let's tell people what a remote is. A remote is a money grab for the radio station. If they'll go out and they'll say, hey, we'll have one of our personalities sit out in front of your store and broadcast live. Whew, that sounds great. That'll be $2,500. So the station makes it. Here's what happens. The poor person who's there is hoping somebody shows up. And then when they do, it's 12 people. Now you look to the advertiser like you don't have an audience. It's not true. Right. You just don't have an audience of people who want a free hot dog. And that's the only reason they come there. Yeah. Oh, you guys giving out T-shirts?
Right. No.
Oh, my goodness. It's horrible. It's absolutely horrible. Now, I would do a remote for $5,000. If you want me to do a remote, I'll go out there and sit by myself. Or if 100 people come or whatever, give me $5,000. Then I'm going to do that. But that's why I'll do it. And I'm not ashamed to say, if you pay me money, I'll get up on stage and sing. I'm not a singer. But if you want to pay me to do it, I'll do it. Now, there are things that I don't get paid for, charitable things. I'm hosting a golf tournament this Friday for Backstoppers.
Normandy, right?
Yeah, they offered to pay me
a
considerable chunk of money. I said, I would never take money. All that money should go to Backstoppers. So
good
that's
for you.
This Friday. It's a makeup day. Here's what's awkward. The tournament is actually put on by the station I just left. where I walked out and said, I can't be part of this crap anymore. So they're there, and I'm there Friday. I love it. It's not awkward for me. I'm in heaven. It's going to be very awkward for them.
So they will be there.
Well, they have to be. It's their turn.
Oh, it's there. I didn't know. If I thought it was your turn.
No,
backstop.
No. I just agreed to host it because of backstoppers. And I know they're listening right now. And I hope you didn't name any names. Don't name any names. And I'm not going to get there Friday and get up and say nasty things about them. It's a charity event. I won't. I'm not going to get up and yell, 590! I don't have to, because everybody who will be playing knows where I am, because those players are listeners. So here's a station hosting a tournament where the players are all now listening to another station. It's fantastic! It's tremendous.
Now, Frank, before we let you go, we have to address what took place yesterday.
The email.
Yeah. And our audience couldn't have been more thrilled to hear you read the email. For those who didn't hear it, here is exactly what happened yesterday afternoon on the Frank Opinion Show.
One thing, Dan, did you give me this story? Because I don't understand this. I walked in and this was sitting here in front of where I sit down. Did you give me this email of the day?
No, I did not.
Who gave me this?
I don't know.
Or was it even meant for
me? Maybe it wasn't meant for you. It was just sitting there.
It says to the morning after inside STL.com, that there's an affiliation here with the station. Mm-hmm. And it was sitting here, so I assumed it was somebody wanted me to read it. It says, mourn, like morning. And then it says, oh, hey, how are you? Did I overhear you say that this restaurant has the best baked chicken west of the Merrimack River? I'll take two orders, please, and make sure it comes with a side of that seasonal veg. Oh, you think this chicken is a bit dry? You think this chicken needs to marinate a bit more? You filthy boy whore.
Oh.
Let's whisk these breasts away to the gender-neutral bathroom where we can marinate this poultry in dehydrated Hoosier urine for up to 6 hours before sprinkling it with the undercarriage shrubs of a bear. Think about it. What?
We get these every day.
I'm serious. Is that a code?
No.
Is that a regular email to the show?
Yes, he is, unfortunately.
It comes on the text line all day.
Well, hold on. It's a he?
Yes,
there's a picture of a hot woman on that email.
No, there's no hot women that listen to this. These are all ex-prisoners, ex-cons, that sort of people.
So help me out, Doug. Is it a code? Like, does the soaked in urine, does the whiskers?
There's no code. That's the way these people talk to each other. And I have to suspend them on a daily basis.
You got an interesting audience.
Nutshell.
You don't
put
even
that
know.
Up. So the same gentleman who wrote that wanted to give you one more that maybe you would be so kind to read.
Sure.
Timmy Walters has set one in here.
Oh,
for Frank, since he's sitting here in the
gateway. Okay, here it is. It says, and Timmy Walters at the top, sure. Through the morning after. Hey, guys, just curious if you filthy boy sluts were able to get those little hot hands on the latest issue of Chamber Pot Aficionado.
Oh.
This month's guest is the chef of the Brunswick Four Seasons Snack Bar, Bertha Johnson, who details her picks for the best autumnal soup recipes to serve out of a chamber pot, as well as which loaf of bread to accompany the soup is best for scraping the rewarding mud from the undercarriage of local hack sportscasters. Think about it. What in the...
You just can't read it.
There's no place
on the airport.
Okay, the truth is that this little show can become a cesspool, and you just waded in.
I did. And I'll be a part of it forever, because I know you're going to play me saying boy whore forever. And I appreciate it. I do. And before I leave, I'd like to say this. Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay Packers, is 6'2", 225 pounds. He lives just outside. There's 7 minutes from Lambeau Field. For 4 or 5 years, he was with Olivia Munn. He holds a couple of passing records, and he'll be 33 years old this December. Thank you.
Thank you. It's a sports talk show.
I just wanted to say something. That
right on point. Yep.
Thank you.
Frank, we loved having you in.
Who is this Aaron Rodgers?
We'll have to look him up in the break. We loved having you in. Thank you so much. 4 days a week, Doug. You're wrong. It's not 5 days
a week. Friday.
Four days a week. Three to six, no remotes, no meetings.
And I appreciate that you would have me in, because the last place I was and the place before that, we got stared down. We were not welcome.
Why?
Well, because I was not KMOX-ish enough. I wasn't boring enough. And the people who were there were former KMOX people, and they were boring as they could be, and they all got fired. But the welcome wasn't there. The welcome is here, and I really do appreciate it, because I've not met anybody here who they couldn't have been more accommodating.
Well, if you're a radio station, you want the station to be successful.
I do.
And so if you bring somebody in who has a huge audience and a bunch of advertisers, it's good for everybody.
I want this show to be successful. I don't have to worry about me. I just don't. I'm okay. But I'm not ready to quit. People, the number one question I get, well, two, where do you get your jokes? And then the other one is, when are you going to retire? I can't even think about doing it. Why would you quit doing something this much fun?
Right. Mm-hmm. I agree with you 100%.
Why would you? It's not even a real job.
No.
Come in here and chit-chat. Now, until there's nobody who wants what I do and there's no money at all, I'll keep doing it. I can tell jokes forever. I can tell stories forever. And they
where
say,
do
where
you get
your
jokes? Yeah, where do you get them?
I don't know. I can't remember lots of things because of a medication I took. It's not a joke, years ago, and it took a part of my memory. But I can remember almost every joke I ever heard that I want to remember. Now, the real filthy ones that I know I can't convert, I just kind of toss them out.
You could say them here on this show.
No. I think we only go as far as boy whore.
That's yeah.
about
whore.
But I cut that off too. And if somebody tries to tell me a joke, I can't help but go, yeah, and then she said it's a butterfly. That's a punchline. I can't help it. That and stories. And they say, where do you get your stories? And I say, because I've lived. Anybody who has a life, who has kids, who's had a girlfriend, who's had a wife, who's taken a vacation, you have stories.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that some people don't know how to tell them. And some people will tell a joke in 30 seconds. I'll get 4 minutes out of that joke. I'll describe the guy in the joke, what he was wearing. Sometimes the telling is better than the punchline.
3 to 6 is where you can hear it. Monday through Thursday, Frank O'Pinion, we're thrilled to have you at this radio station.
I thank you for letting me come and tell. I did not intend to tell that
whole
story.
Oh, it was the best.
No, thank you for coming in, honestly. Yeah. We were looking forward to it, and it was fascinating.
Yep. We'll take a break. Thanks, Frank, you can hear him at 3 today. There it is. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After.